From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus on WILL Radio and online at will.illinois.edu. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's the first Friday of the month, the day we talk about dogs. And here in the studio this morning, dog trainers Jim Keel and Robin Haggard. Listeners, I invite you to join us this morning with questions about dogs, dog care, behavior, training. Join us with a phone call or by email. The phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Jim and Robin raise Malamutes, beautiful animals. Many of their dogs have been champions. They have a lot of experience with other breeds as well, as they are members and trainers with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. 333-9455, 800-222-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I think I said that twice.
What was that?
222-9455. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Greetings from the Chase Auditorium in beautiful downtown Chicago.
You guys went on the trip up to see... Wait. Yes. Don't tell me.
It was a lot of fun. A group of WILL supporters took a bus up to Chicago last night and watched the taping of Wait. And for people who think that it's live, it's not. Yeah. It's taped. And we were right to, Robin and I were in the second row back.
Uh-huh.
So we could spit and hit the folks up on the stage.
Yeah. They had reserved a spot for us, even though it's first come, first serve. They had reserved a spot for us. And
by us, it's great. The 40 or so people that were up there, not just Jim and Rob.
Well, I think if you're going to get out of the bus and go to Chicago, they should at least do that, don't you think?
Yeah. I think we would have gotten some special attention, but the new president or CEO of National Public Radio was also there. And he kind of got the attention of everybody, by which I mean the staff was, they got better seats than we did, for example.
Yeah. Well, now, was the new president, CEO, was he part of the show or
he was just
there to see it?
He was there, but where Peter Sagal might have commented on the people from Champaign, he commented on the new CEO.
Uh-huh.
So I was disappointed in that. Yeah. I had my WILL hat on.
So what does that show look like when they're doing it?
It looks like it's an auditorium. It seats about 500 people. It's in the basement of one of the Chase buildings. Robin kept saying, oh, there's the Chase Bank. And indeed, I think there are five or six in downtown Chicago. But this is the main one, and it's down in the basement, holds about 500 people. There's a stage with about three steps up, and Peter Sagal and Carl Castle are at podia on the left, and then the panel sits at a table on the right, our right.
Yeah.
The people are very witty. They tape about 90 minutes, and then I think they cut it down to 50. So the people are saying a lot of witty things that don't necessarily make the radio because...
Yeah. And some of them are a little more risque than others, yeah. But it was a lot of fun.
And any dogs there?
No.
Not a one.
No. There was sign language interpreters for a couple of deaf folks up the front.
There were two sign language interpreters, and they traded off. But Peter Sagal and some of the people on the panel, they can talk a mile a minute. They're going, and these folks are signing and... what little I know about signing, I think they were leaving several words out because they just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I could barely keep up.
Yeah.
Peter Sagal can talk awfully fast.
Yeah. So how are the males out at Poker Flats?
Seems to be fine this morning. The puppies were complaining. We've got a litter of puppies right now, and they were complaining that I didn't spend enough time with them, but... Boo-hoo, I'll go home and play with them some more.
Hey, our public is more important.
Yeah. So
How old are the pups?
They're 6 weeks this week. Yeah, so.
So where are they in their development?
They're eating all on their own, of course, and they've learned to run up and down the stairs, and they're not dependent on mommy as much. She plays with them, but she regards them now more as something to knock over. And I call it puppy torture.
Go away, you're bothering me.
The mothers go through a period of time when they teach the puppies who's boss. And this is that period. They'll hold them down and wait for the puppy to quit screaming, and then they'll let them up, and the puppy's like, I love you, mother. So a lot of people will remove the mom from the litter at this point completely because they think she's being mean to them. But really, she's just teaching them, you know, your spot in this pack is the bottom kid. And so it's very important for their development, really, to be with the mom for some period of time when after the weaning period, where she teaches them, you know, doggy rules of behavior. Hmm. So.
And they bite you and they poop everywhere and they scream constantly.
Yeah. Not constantly.
Well, you know, already the Animal Planet folks have teasers up for the Puppy Bowl. That's what it's called? The Puppy Bowl, which is coming up on Sunday.
On the Super Bowl night?
Yeah, on the Super Bowl night, yeah. And
we don't have cable, so.
Puppies are adorable.
Well, I've always said if puppies have to be cute, and if they weren't, we'd eat them. So, yes, yeah. They're adorable.
They're adorable. Yeah, they so cute. You can put up with them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Inconveniences.
I don't know if you can see all the scratches. When they get teeth at around 5 weeks.
Ouch.
They've never had teeth before, and they've only been on the planet for 5 weeks, so they want to try these things out, and they generally try them out on us. Plus, they have tiny, tiny little toenails,
yeah.
And they're very sharp. So, in fact, we saw one puppy that had blood on its face, and I'm going, Robin, puppy has blood on its face. And she says, well, this is all superficial. So I'm looking at the other dogs, see if they have a cut on their mouth or something. And I looked, and my hand is bleeding.
It was you.
I found the blood. It's me.
Ouch. Ouch. Well, it feels like spring already, but I've got to believe that with spring, there will be new classes and events coming up at the Dog Training Club. What's on the calendar?
We're about halfway through the winter session. We will have the CGC on, I think it's St. Patrick's Day, the official St. Patrick's Day.
17th.
17th, it's whatever that Thursday is. And that'll be the CGC. There'll be probably a week or two hiatus, and then we'll start the next classes around April 1st. It's hard to say in the winter because despite the spring-like weather, we build in a little cushion in the winter. We've already taken up
cancellations.
Yeah, we've already taken up one snow day, and there may be others coming. Yeah. So, but it'll be around April 1st.
And we're like the schools, you know. When you don't have snow days up till this point, you think, oh boy, if an inch of snow falls, you think we'll call off class.
It's snowing.
We built them in, so we haven't used them yet.
And CGC, is that Canine Good Citizen? Is that what that
Sorry,
is?
Sorry, that's Canine Good Citizen. It's a test and a title provided by the AKC. If you pass, you send the documentation to the AKC, and then you can put a title at the end of your dog's name, like Fluffy CGC, where it in obedience titles, you have Poker Flats, give me a name.
Coldplay.
Coldplay CD, you know, or so that CD is his obedience title. So you'd have that. We use the CGC test as our graduation test.
Yeah, most people don't use the CGC as a title anyway, but
some people do. Some people do.
Never mind. But at any rate,
yes, that's why we have wives, so that we always get everything exactly right. Otherwise, we'd be making mistakes.
They'd
all the
be
time.
Lost without us, wouldn't they, Robin?
But it is a test that we give at the end of classes to just sort of see where the dog is. And if they pass the CGC, then they can go on to like some of our pre-agility classes and things like that, because it shows you've got a certain amount of control of your dog.
Yeah, what does it involve for a dog to be have that behind his or her name, canine good citizen?
Tests are...
There are 10 tests.
Yeah, they're greeting a friendly stranger, and that involves three things. The friendly stranger will come up and greet the person.
The handler. That's why we have husbands, too, to make sure everything's right.
And the dog has to more or less remain at this person's side and not be jumping on the person and things like that. Under pretty good control, and then the person comes up and greets the dog, and then the person comes up and actually goes over the dog, touches the dog, and does a little very slight grooming, like runs a brush through their fur, just so that you can show that the dog is under reasonable control while all these things are happening. And then the next test, there's a walking on a loose leash, and the dog doesn't have to heel per se, but they need to not be straining at the leash one way or another. And then there's a demonstrating that they know the commands of sit and down. And then there's a very brief stay command. And then there's distractions, which there's two different distraction things we do. One is milling with a crowd. You have several people walking back and forth, and the dog has to walk through the milling crowd and not actually go in front of or behind the handler to try to sniff the other people or jump on them or anything. And the other distraction is something that's strange or different, like some rattling cans, or we usually use a person in like a walker or a wheelchair, and they have to demonstrate that the dog isn't freaked out by these new things, that it might be interested in them, but it's not going to be scared to death so that it misbehaves.
Isolation.
Oh, and then the final one is where the dog is taken away from the handler, and for 3 minutes it's in a room with a stranger. And that, for some dogs, especially dogs that experience some separation anxiety, or that can be a very tough one. But we practice all of these in the classes and try to prepare people for them.
Yeah. How do you work with a dog that has some separation anxiety issues? Can you work on that?
It takes a lot of desensitizing. You start off with brief periods where you're away from the dog, and usually you like to use things like food or a bone or a toy or something to distract the dog while you're gone. The person in the room with the dog can talk to the dog and pet him, so it's not like the dog is completely ignored while they're in this isolation. But for some dogs that are very shy or completely attached to their owners, that it can still be kind of rough, and you just have to... usually we start off by taking it very slow. The person during the classes, someone will take the dog to the room for, you know, half a minute at the most, just long enough basically to enter the room, pet the dog a time or two, and then come back out again or give the dog a treat. The person in the room might give the dog treats, and then we start to extend the time. And so most dogs can be gotten through that. The hardest part, and I missed saying it, is the dog greet dog, and that's probably the hardest one of the exercises, and that's where a person with a friendly or non-threatening dog will walk towards the person being tested with their dog, and you're passing each other. Now, they're not passing with the dogs next to each other. They're passing with the people next to each other, but a lot of dogs, especially if they walk in a neighborhood and see other dogs on the street, they go, you know, they get very crazy. Oh, there's another dog. I've got to go see it. So the dog greet dog is really probably the toughest exercise.
Yeah. How do you work with a dog so that they get through that?
We practice that a lot.
Well, build it up slowly. And it's the dog greet dog is evidence that the handler has control of the dog. So you walk up, the dog should sit, you shake hands with the other person
mm-hmm.
and then you walk off, all the while watching your dog to make sure they don't try to get at the other dog or the person. And while a majority of people who flunk don't flunk that particular exercise, probably 40%. So the largest single thing that people flunk is the dog greet dog. And it's not because the dogs are aggressive or mean. It's usually almost always because they're too friendly. And they want to jump up and they want to greet the other dog. And and that's okay as long as the handler says it's okay. But if you're just passing a dog on a walk, you don't want your dog jumping all over a stranger's dog.
Or trying to
attack it for that matter.
But we practice that a lot in class, and so usually the dogs are pretty well prepared for it. And the dog coming at the other dog is, we try to pick a calm dog, a non-threatening dog, one that's not going to give any signals of any kind of aggression towards the other dog, so that it becomes more or less like a neutral. It's not a trigger for bad behavior.
This is Focus, and we're talking this morning with Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. They raise Malamutes. They also work with a lot of other breeds as well, as they're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this morning with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455, and the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. So I would imagine from time to time you get dogs in the club that are a little assertive or aggressive. How do you deal with that?
More and more, and yes. I've had this problem last year, about three classes in a row I'd have a dog that was a problem. The class format is handy for teaching a lot of people at the same time. However, if a dog is reactive either to, and when I say reactive, it either barks a lot or attacks or is in some way obnoxious, the class format is not for that dog. In order to teach a dog something, you at least have to have a shot at getting their attention. And some of these dogs, when they walk in, they're so reactive to other dogs, they just ignore their handler for the whole hour. And the handler can't get them to do anything. Most of the training that people do doesn't occur in the class. It occurs back at home. We just teach them how to do the exercises at the class. But still, if the dog is ramming or barking or pulling and never looking at the handler, and they can't learn anything. And especially these dogs don't react to food. You can give them food and they don't care. And they'll pull on their leash. They don't care how hard you're pulling back. They just pull and they're trying to get out at other dogs. Those, we have people that we refer owners with that kind of dog, and they give private one-on-one lessons. And it's that's what that particular kind of dog needs. They if they react to other dogs and they're around other dogs, they just can't learn anything.
A lot of it is lack of early socialization. The minute people get a puppy, they should start taking it places and getting it used to other dogs and people and strange situations, and that gets the dog to the point where it's not going to be reactive when it gets to a new strange place. And so a lot of the dogs that we see that have this kind of reactivity, it's not in their genes or breeding or, you know, it's just a lack of that early socialization that really was needed.
And a lot of people that have those dogs are embarrassed and humiliated. And we try to say, look, you know, you've got, the dog has a specific kind of problem that we can't deal with in a class situation. We're making it worse. So there's nothing to be embarrassed about. We're glad we could find it out. And why don't you try private lessons for and just to get the dog under control and then come back? And usually the people will try at least.
Let's take a call. So if you want to put your headphones on, we'll take a call. This is a listener waiting for us in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hello there.
I want to know if I can teach my dog to bring in the newspaper.
From downtown Champaign or from the...
No, it's just the end of the driveway.
Ah, how long is the driveway?
About probably 30 feet.
No, you can. What kind of dog is it?
A French water dog.
A French what?
Water dog.
A Portuguese water dog?
No, it's a French water
French
dog.
Water dog.
They're all related. They're all the forebears of all poodles, but they're Spanish water dogs. There are a lot of different ones.
Yeah, Irish water spaniels, curly-coated retrievers. There's a lot of different techniques. If your driveway's on a busy street, I would probably not
do it.
Yeah, not encourage you to do that.
They don't go out off the driveway.
Yeah, if it's safe for the dog to do so, then you can start by, I would take the dog out, and you might need a second person, and that would be to show the dog that there's something there with the newspaper, say a little treat or something, and move the newspaper around a little bit, and the person holding the dog at the doorway says, you know, go get it. Give them a command and be consistent with your command, whatever it is, you know, like get the paper. And then when the dog goes out to see what the person is doing, then they can give them the paper. I'm assuming the dog likes to carry things in its mouth anyway. Oh, it doesn't. Okay.
Well, that's job one.
It'll carry the things it chooses to carry, but it won't let me hand him something.
Okay, that...
Well, he's retrieving. Yeah. First of all, the dog has to learn how to retrieve.
Right.
Okay.
And it's not a simple process, and there are many, many ways of doing it. In fact, I just, for my class, I'm teaching a class where we're teaching retrieving, and I have, over the years... I've gotten a bunch of articles. I've got like 10 articles, various people on their method of training retrieving. So there's many, many ways of doing it, and you can adapt one of those ways to your dog, whatever special problems it has. But the first thing you have to do is teach it to retrieve, and basically that's just showing it. If it's the paper you want, I'd use paper to teach it to retrieve.
They know how to retrieve golf tennis balls, but that's about all.
Well, that's good.
That's a start.
Yeah, and
our second dog started tearing up the paper, so we had her not touch that one. We're not going to teach that one to retrieve the paper.
No.
Well,
that would be...
The thing is, you don't start by having the dog go down to the end of the driveway. You start with the newspaper in your hand, showing it to the dog, having them take it just for a tenth of a second, taking it out and then giving them a treat.
Great.
And slowly, 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 you put the paper or whatever you want them to retrieve out in front of their nose, and as they reach for it, you treat them, and then you just hold it farther and farther away you put it on the ground, and then you put it on the ground 5 feet away and then 10 feet away.
Yeah, it's a process, and it takes quite a bit of time. I was under the assumption that the dog already liked to retrieve, but if it doesn't like to retrieve, you have to go through this.
They like to retrieve tennis balls.
Right, but you have to kind of get it.
So many things away from them that they wanted to retrieve.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, when you say retrieve tennis balls, you mean go get them or bring them back to you?
They'll bring them back to me
okay.
So we can throw it again.
Excellent. They will figure out that they'll bring the newspaper back to you and you won't throw it again. Then they'll figure that out pretty fast. So they have
retrieved, and then they don't mind as much.
Well, once they bring the paper to you, then reward them by throwing the ball.
Right. Good idea.
And that'll encourage them to say, oh, if I give them the newspaper, they'll do what I want, which is throw the ball.
Great. Good. So. Okay. Well, Jim, I'm in Jim's class right now, and we have two dogs in that class.
Oh, yeah.
So we really appreciate his teaching.
Stella.
Question.
Stella!
Thanks for the call this morning.
Well, I'm thinking about it. The Westminster Dog Show is on. I don't know which network. It's one of those cable things, ESPN or USA, next Monday. No, mm-hmm. not next Monday. A week from Monday and Tuesday. It's on the 13th and 14th. And so that's a fun evening of watching all kinds of purebred dogs. And there's a bunch of new breeds. So for someone who's been in dogs as long as me, there's so many new breeds every year. It's sort of like an introduction to what's in Europe or Asia. But it's a lot of fun. And it's usually the coverage is 7 to 10 on Monday and Tuesday, and that's the 13th and 14th.
Okay. I think I want to say it's USA.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Since we don't have cable, we have to go someplace and hope that they'll let us watch it at a sports bar or someplace like that.
Or maybe have a friend record it for you.
Yeah, right? I've had them do that before, too. Yeah.
And when is the Yukonuba?
The Yukonuba was in December.
Oh, okay.
It's in mid to late December, and this year it was back in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
And the Dog Training Club is going to be featured, I think, once a month on the CI Living show that Channel 3 has in the afternoons now, where they're asking us to do a segment, I think, once a month. So there may be some coverage there. I've not had the opportunity to watch the CI Living show, but they came out and did a little filming at our club a week or two ago, and I heard it was on TV.
Yeah. I know that Channel 3 regularly features the uh-huh. Humane Society.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something to keep an eye out for, too. And the Puppy Bowl coming up this Sunday. This is Focus, and today we're talking about dogs with dog trainers Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. My name is Celeste Quinn. More after a short break.
When comedy writer Will Reiser was 24 and sick with cancer, he amused himself by dreaming up ludicrous cancer comedies. After he was cancer-free, he wrote the romantic comedy 50-50 about a guy with cancer. It's now out on DVD. The film stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who plays the character based on Reiser. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from both of them. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
Listeners like you appreciate and enjoy programming that consistently offers balanced news, enlightening information, and quality entertainment. Have you thought of including WILL in your estate plans? Our Legacy Circle members provide for the station for years to come by investing in the future of WILL. Contact your financial advisor or call Donda Beard at 217-333-7300 or go online at will.illinois.edu/support.
This is Focus from Illinois Public Media. I'm Celeste Quinn. This morning, in this portion of the program, we're talking about dogs. This is something we do on the first Friday of the month in the 11 o'clock hour of the program. And listeners, you're invited to join us with questions, comments. 333-9455 is the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today was dental care for dogs. Mm. This is Pet Dental Health Care Month.
Ah.
And we're out of, Dog Training Month.
Yes.
That was January.
Yeah. We did talk about that.
That's right, but now it's over. We'll have to wait another year.
Yes, nobody can train their dogs for another year. Dental care is very important, especially for some breeds have more tooth problems than others. A lot of the toy breeds particularly have tooth problems, and so it's very important that their owners work with them as puppies to teach them to kind of brush their teeth. And there's things that they sell now, almost like toothpaste for dogs, mm-hmm. and tools that you can use. And usually it involves something like a little rubber thing that you put over your finger and put a little toothpaste on it and then rub the dog's teeth. And if the dog gets used to that from puppyhood, it's really no big deal, and you can do it several times a week or once a day, whatever your schedule allows.
People who do that we call stumpy.
stubby. For bigger dogs or dogs with not as big a dental problem, then simply giving them good things to chew on a couple of times a week will usually help keep the tartar and so forth from building up. But if your dog has bad breath in particular, it's very important that you get them to your vet, have them check it out, because if they get an abscess or they get other infections in their mouth, that infection can go to their heart, their lungs, their kidneys. Probably not lungs, but kidneys. So it can go to other organs in the body, and they can actually, you can shorten your dog's life by having dental problems that aren't taken care of. They've got good dental, doggy dental experts at the university who can do things like root canals and so forth with dogs. So it depends upon the situation, but if your dog has a cracked tooth, you'd want to either have it removed or have a root canal done, because that's a big place where infection can happen. Years ago, we had one of our top show dogs had a cracked tooth, and they actually put a crown on it. but it really, you know, if we hadn't taken care of it, he could have gotten a very bad infection. So it's very important to look after their teeth.
And you should train your dog. And Robin's the puppy person around here, so she's always saying you should start as a puppy, which is always true, but not everybody gets a dog as a puppy. But whatever age your dog is, you should start getting them used to always turn off your phone when you come to the radio, dear. Get your dog used to apparently you're wrong. quick, thank you. Get your dog used to you opening their mouth and inspecting their, pushing back their gums, because there are other things besides tartar buildup. They can get tumors in their mouths. They can get lesions of all kinds.
Or even little sticks stuck in their...
Sticks?
In their teeth or things like that. Years and years ago, we had a dog that started to have a choking problem. And he'd gag a lot, and we couldn't figure out, you know, he seemed healthy otherwise. We couldn't figure out what was going on. We finally took him to the university, and they had just gotten their scope for going down the trachea. And one of the vets there, who's since become a good friend of ours, scoped him, and he had evidently had a piece of stick or something like that stuck in the roof of his mouth way in the back.
Ouch.
And that had caused an abscess. And that had started to cause problems where he was losing muscle mass.
Yeah.
He was getting...
his eyes were sinking.
All kinds of issues. And we had no idea. And you just opening his mouth, you couldn't see it. He had to actually go down with the scope, and it was past where you could see. And once we got that healed up, all his other symptoms disappeared. But it was...
One other thing. As you open your dog's mouth, they'll have pink skin around their teeth. Now, some dogs have black markings, but find the pink area and push it with your finger and hold for about a second, then let go. When you do that, it pushes the blood out, so it kind of turns white, but then the blood comes back in. And just you do that so you get used to a normal, healthy dog's reaction to that. Then if the dog is down for any reason, you can... Yeah. Do that test, and if it doesn't pop back the way it usually does, then you know the dog's in shock or has some other problem.
Yeah. Let's take some more calls now. Let's go next to a listener in Champaign on line one. Good morning.
Good morning. I have 2 8-and-a-half-year-old dogs, one male, one female, both neutered, and they've been together and are so inseparable that I cannot even walk them away from each other. The male especially just screams if he's taken away. Now, they're both 50 pounds, so walking them together is very difficult. How can I gently and without traumatizing our poor boy get them where I can walk them separately?
You have a kind of a long road ahead of you, I'm afraid. We've had the situation, and I... We've had dogs that would rather be with their worst enemy than be alone. So it is a hard problem to work on. But I would start by, do you have a crate? Do you have dog crates for them?
Yeah, but mine are used to a dog door and a fenced yard, and they've never been confined.
Right, but
or crated.
For purposes of teaching him to be by himself, okay, while you're walking the other dog, it's good to have him in a place that there where he can be confined.
Okay.
And I like to have him in a place where they can be confined and not be able to destroy things. Okay.
Right.
So you don't want to put them in your living room and have the drapes be open and they'll tear everything apart
right.
trying to get out. If you have crates in the car, that works very well too. But you want a place where you can confine them. I would give the dog you're leaving at home and take turns. You know, you're going to take him,
right.
her away from him and him away from her. I would give him something really, really good, like a butcher bone or something he really, really wants. You know, some food item or toy that he gets really engrossed in. And then I would just simply take her out for a very short walk, maybe 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then you bring her back. And you might even switch at that point. Give her
right.
the good thing and take him out for 5 minutes. So you're going to take this very, very slowly. Always give them something distracting. This can be a matter of throwing some food on the floor, letting the dog start to puzzle it out. They have these treat machines almost that where they'll deliver the treat as the dog rolls them around.
Right.
Something like that. So you have to kind of give the dog you're leaving something to get engrossed in besides the fact that, oh, they're leaving. I'm
yeah.
being left alone.
Because they won't even go out and bark at a squirrel alone. They'll come back into the room, bark at their mate.
And say, come on, let's go. Yeah.
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 yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. When we place two dogs with people, I always counsel them as puppies, take them places by themselves because at some point in their life, they're going to be separated from this other and they have to learn to be comfortable with that. There's some homeopathic things that you can use to help the situation too. A friend of ours recently found a product called Composure, which she gets someplace online. I think if you Google Composure, you'd find it.
Spray pheromone things or something?
No, no. This particular product is it's a treat, and you give it to them, and it tends to calm them down and make them less anxious. She was trying it for car sickness, which it doesn't really work very well for that because it doesn't have a motion component.
Right.
But it did work well when we went to give them their first bath, and they were big.
Oh, okay.
They were big dogs already, and so when we gave the boy the Composure, he was quite good in the tub. He
okay.
didn't fight us at all. And when the blow dryer went on, he hardly noticed it. So,
oh dear.
But I use Rescue Remedy, too, quite a bit, especially when the girls are in season. I use it on everybody, but particularly the boys. And that helps take the edge off of that.
Rescue Remedy,
yeah. It's a Bach flower remedy, and it's homeopathic. You just use a couple of drops in their water. And it's just really a nice product because you think, oh, it's not really working, and then it suddenly dawns on you, well, they aren't barking like crazy because the girls are in season, you know.
Yeah.
So it does work, but it's a little more subtle. But you have to take them apart slowly and just get them used to being by themselves for brief periods of time at first.
Okay.
And as I say, put the one you're keeping, the one you're not taking, in a secure place. I like to use cars. If they like to ride in the car and you have crates in the car, I think the car is a great place to start because you can put them both in the car in their crates and then take them, say, Lake of the Woods or some other place, leave one in the car in the crate and walk the other one just right around where the other one can even see it. and then maybe go behind a building or behind a tree for a brief period, and then bring them back, put them in the crate, take the other one out, and walk them around. At first, where they can see the other dog, so they're not anxious, and then slowly you're going to be disappearing for more and more time, and the dog will just get, oh, I'm in the crate in the car, I'm safe, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have my litter mate or my buddy with me.
Okay, well, thank you.
But it is a long process. It's not something that happens
overnight. Don't be
afraid
to do this in very short steps.
Yeah.
Because remember, if you start off with 5 seconds of away time and double that every day, by the end of 2 months, you'll have more time than there was in the universe. So very slow, gradual increases is what you need. And, you know, you can't start with a 10-minute. Robin said 5 minutes, and I thought that was a little too long.
Well, it depends on the dogs, but I would do it until they start to get anxious. If you have someone who can kind of keep an eye on them while you're gone and see at what point does the dog actually start to get anxious, and then signal you to come back. So you can increase that time, but each time it's like you're coming back when the dog is just starting to get really concerned. And that sort of helps to allay the concern. Oh, I got concerned, but they came back.
So. Let's take another call. This is a listener in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Champaign. I have a 2-year-old Vizsla that Jim has had the pleasure of training, Leah, and my husband travels a lot for his business, and he will be having another business trip coming up, and when he leaves to go out of town, the energy level that she usually has not only goes up, but she is an absolute wreck when he is gone. So I'm just wondering, we've done the leaving a old shirt with her to try and calm her down. I work full time, taking her on long walks to the dog park to go running, but she refuses to eat when he is gone, and just trying to figure out what we can do to make her a little bit more comfortable when he's out of town.
Put your husband and Leah in a crate, in crates in the car, take one out, walk them around. It's generally the same kind of advice, gradual things. I think composure or rescue remedy is also called for.
Yeah, the rescue remedy in a situation like this might work really well for you. And I'd start it a day or two before your husband leaves town. Just start putting it either, if you put water in her food, you can put it directly in there. If she has a normal place where she gets her water supply in the house, a dish or a pail, just put a couple of drops in that every day. And that helps to lessen the anxiety level. Distracting her
anxiety level gets pretty high when he's gone. She's very attached to him.
Is she like when he starts packing, does she start to get upset?
She knows.
Yeah.
We do a lot of traveling back and forth to St. Louis, and the minute our suitcases come out, she is whining, going back and forth to the door, and until she is physically in the car and we are driving, she is anxious the entire time.
She's like, are you going to leave me or not?
Yes.
It wouldn't hurt also if you have a buddy, another dog she can play with.
Yeah.
And have that dog come over on a play date just to distract her. Knucklebone, same as the other when you have two dogs, but delicious treats, knuckle bones, things like that, to keep the dog's mind off.
I think with her, especially because she starts to get anxious so early, I think the rescue remedy will help a lot, because that just sort of lessens the anxiety level and takes the edge off of that. You might also do the fooling her thing of, you know, packing as if he's going and then he doesn't go. And try doing some of that to see if you can kind of get her to, just because the suitcases are out doesn't mean what you think it means. It's, you know, we're going to fool you this time. Now that depends on the dog, if they catch on to that or not. but she might get to the point where, oh, they're putting the suitcase in the car, but nobody's actually going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Did you get her from a breeder?
We did.
Have you talked to the breeder about the problem?
We haven't. We got her 2 years almost mm-hmm. from the breeder, mm-hmm. so we haven't been in contact with him for a while.
I'd give any time you've gotten a dog and you know the genetic background, mm-hmm. it might be handy to find out if dogs behind her had the same kind of problem and what they
okay.
did.
Yeah, or it may be that they like breed-specific suggestions. You know, he might. He or she might have ideas on certain things that would work well with your particular breed.
Mm-hmm.
Some dogs respond better to food than others. Some respond better to toys.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what her thing is, those buster balls or the things where the treats are kind of given out, if she's at all food-oriented, those sorts of things.
Extremely. Jim knows from training, very food oriented.
Yeah. And
that's why they call me Stubby. So.
And those sort of things can work really well with dogs that have the sort of anxiousness. But I think a long term solution may be more along the lines of the rescue remedy or something like that, that will kind of reduce her overall anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Best of luck.
And next we go to Champaign, line 3. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a 4-year-old Bichon Frise, and she is a canine good citizen, and she's very apt at training events. So we like to play and do little, you know, our own little rally-o in the house mm-hmm. or in the backyard. So I would like to teach her to back up. And mm-hmm. I can't, she, of course, backs up she's in front of me and I walk toward her, she backs up. But not when I'm trying to do it as part of a little routine.
Yeah. And one of the things in rally obedience is to back up next to you.
If you teach that, is that a good step before teaching her to back from in front of you?
I use back a lot with our dogs, and I usually use it from the front. But once they understand the command to go backwards from in front, mm-hmm. then you can start moving them around to the side. And one of the things that we do at class to start teaching this is we get next to one of the ring barriers, or you could do it next to a wall where the dog is on your left side and then the ring barrier or a wall is right there. Mm-hmm. So the dog doesn't have the opportunity to flip in front of you without really maneuvering its body. It's got
right.
very little
Actually,
room to go.
I would like to have her back from the front.
Oh, okay. The front is relatively easy. Take a treat and basically hold it kind of low and walk towards the dog. And as they take a step back, just say back, back, back. And I like to use my fingers and just kind of point back, 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 mm-hmm. and use the treat to kind of lure them to take a step. And at first you're rewarding them for one or two steps in
right.
backwards, and then you're rewarding them for more. And after a while, you know, the dog will get to the point where it'll back up 10 feet and not even think anything about it.
But
you have to hold the treat low so that they okay. don't think you want them to sit.
Right.
Because a lot of times they'll get confused.
That's what's happened when I've tried it.
Yeah. Try holding the treat or toy, whatever you're using as a lure, down low so that they're in a getting them into more or less a stand mm-hmm. position.
So you put the treat in one hand and point with the other.
Yeah, or hold the treat back in my. I just like to, because that way when they've learned the thing, you can just use your fingers and say back and use your fingers to point backwards and they'll go, oh, that's what we're doing. We're going backwards.
And hold the treat low, and when you want the dog to go back, kind of push it toward their chest.
Okay. Yeah.
So that their head goes down and they'll have to back up in order to get it.
Yeah.
And as they do that, you say back, obviously.
Yeah.
And not only a cookie, but lots of praise.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to give that a try.
Sure. Good luck.
And our last call this morning, listener in Tolono, line 1. Hi.
Hi. I'm from Tolono, and I'm calling about dog's health. And we had a dog, this is like really a serious thing because we had no idea. We had a dog that, like, threw up every day for, like, 10 days. And we have a great veterinarian, Dr. King. And he kept taking x-rays, and he could tell there was something in there, but he thought it would dissolve. Finally, we figured out he opened Darby up and had to do a three-hour operation, chipping across his stomach because he had been going down on our third floor to the basement and eating clumpable cat litter. Now, who would have thought it? It was a three-hour operation, cost a couple $1,000s to do, but we love our dog.
Right.
And I just think that's important for anybody with a dog to know that that dog really smells the clumpable cat litter and they are attracted to it. So Dr. King said, don't ever, ever have that kind of litter when you have a dog or cats. And, you know, after we removed that kind of cat litter, Darby never went to our basement again. He would wait till we left home and sneak down there. Who knew?
Yeah. So, I think there's a warning on that clumpable litter, if I remember correctly. I think there is some sort of warning on it. But
Well, that was several years ago, and Dr. King actually was going to write papers to the Humane Society and do a bunch of stuff to bring the attention to people about that because it was sad.
Yes, it is a very important thing. And
dogs eat rocks as well.
Dogs will,
dogs will eat anything.
They will eat anything, and obstructions. We had a dog years and years ago that died from eating a piece of towel, and we knew what he had eaten, and we took him to the vet, and the vet said, "Well, probably he'll pass it, so we'll just keep him and observe him." And so they kept him for 2 days, and it hadn't come out. And when he finally went in to do the surgery, it had already perforated his intestines.
If
the dog is vomiting or suddenly decides not to eat for any reason, do take him in, and I think a lot more vets
are. Yeah, well, we just actually had him put him to sleep 4 months ago.
He
ended up with liver cancer at 13 years old, and it was the hardest thing we've ever done. I still cry every week. And I'm not getting another dog for a few months because Dr. King says it's not out of me yet, and you can't accept a new dog in your life until you've grieved. And I'm grieving.
I give the opposite advice, actually. To me, bringing home a new dog kind of fills that hole in your heart. And a lot of people think I'm callous for saying it, but I really think that if you do get another pet very soon after that first one goes, it really, really helps. Mm. And that's just been my experience. You know, when we lose a dog and we're very upset, to come home and have a warm nose in your hand again is really, really important.
That's where we'll have to leave it for this month. And I also wanted to mention for someone listening, they wanted a number for the American Kennel Club, and it's area code 919-233-9767, and their hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that's Eastern Time. 919-233-9767.
It's online as well.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, thanks very much, and we've got to run. We're running late.